This week on football, Pep's mad at Jack. Isco still got it. Bird bangs one in for Eastbourne. Emma Hayes loses a call. Barcelona's Inigo Martinez confronts young fan. And Wolves legend Steve Paul sings happy birthday to himself. Welcome to this week's episode of Goalposts for Jumpers. It is me, your host, Alex. I am joined with the man who's normally behind the camera. It's Vince. Welcome, Vince.
Thank you very much.
You were present for the Will Evans interview.
I was indeed.
You were tasked beforehand to... What were you tasked to do? Explain. What did I ask you to do?
Take a few photos so you can get some good memories.
Some little clips, behind the scenes, stuff like that.
Which you forgot to do.
He had one job, so he sat there like a member of the audience and watched us for the whole time.
I felt a bit like a naughty child. Like, I wasn't supposed to be there. Like, they were looking at me like,
Why are you there? Honestly, as soon as we started, I forgot you were even there, to be fair. But I thought you were going to be in the background taking... Yeah, you had your one job. But we have got a guest coming up. It's lined up and you are going to be there. And next time you are going to be filming behind the scenes. Are you looking forward to that?
I am looking forward to that.
It's going
to
be good, isn't it?
It's a really good guest.
Yeah. Right. So what have we got coming up? We are going to, like, this is Vince, by the way, a Man United fan, the man behind the scenes every now and then. So we are going to be talking about Man United. So I do apologise to anyone who is probably a Liverpool fan or an Arsenal fan or a City fan who, you know, you're probably going to be sick of us.
I think they'll enjoy it.
Do you know what? Yeah, it's going to be us rinsing Man United for a whole hour. Yeah. I've got my team of the week coming up. We are going to be doing the weekend treble as well. And I've got a cracking fan-captured goal of the week coming up as well. Right, okay, let's talk Man United. We have had an absolute shocker. Brentford the other night. We've got Chelsea coming up in, when this goes out, the Thursday.
Yeah.
How do you fancy us against Chelsea?
Well, I watched the Chelsea-Burnley game. And they have got some bad players, Chelsea. So do we. But Chelsea against... I mean, Burnley went 9 to 10 men. They only had two shots I can really remember, like decent chances. But against a 10-man Burnley team, they should be putting them away.
Burnley are awful as well.
Oh, Jackson.
Nicholas Jackson.
Oh, my God.
I've got something coming up, right, in a couple of episodes' time. And I'm waiting for Jackson to score his 10th goal of the season in the Premier League. And I'm going to do a feature that is... the worst player to ever score 10 goals in a Premier League season. Jackson is going to be number one on my list because he's going to get there.
He can't read the game. He's got no first touch.
Offside all the time.
I don't get it. Like, the balls are going into the box and he was stood at the end of in the right position, but not making any sort of runs. Mm. Just stood on the last defender thinking, is anything going to happen? And you've got the midfield players running in between, making the runs. He should be making, getting on the end of it. You've got Sterling getting on the end of a header that he should be on the end of.
Yeah.
And it absolutely balloons it because it's Sterling.
How has he scored so many goals so far? I don't understand. Because there are flashes.
He can be so bad, but he can be good at the same time. He's a weird striker. There's something in there. Whether or not he'll ever come out in the Premier League, I don't think so. But
he's still young.
Yeah, he's frustrated. As a Chelsea fan, you must be frustrated watching him, because yeah. I was getting annoyed and I didn't want Chelsea to win that yeah. game.
I get frustrated watching him. I put him in my, we do a day one team every season where we're not allowed to change our fantasy Premier League teams. And I put Jackson in there because of that cameo. I obviously saw him for, I saw him last season in La Liga here and there, but in pre-season, oh my God, it wasn't he a player?
Yeah, he looks really, really good.
And then now it's like the biggest donkey we've ever seen in the Premier League.
And then you've got Mudryk. Now, he did a few okay things in that game, but 90% of his game was to get the ball, cut in, whack it over the bar. And he kept him on for 90 minutes. I know Sterling's in a real bad run of form.
He is.
But he is still a phenomenal player. He will beat players on the
Sterling,
run.
Sterling, yeah.
Mudryk, you don't feel like you're going to get that from him. And no. Sterling come on, I think, in like the 83rd minute or something like that. And they kept Mudryk on for most of the game. And I couldn't believe it. He should have been off after 60 minutes. He had enough chances and enough to do stuff, and he wasn't doing anything. I felt sorry for Cole Palmer because he's a level
what
above
a
that
player.
Team. Oh, my word.
Is Cole Palmer the young player of the year? I think he's got to have it, hasn't he?
I think so.
I can't think of anyone off the top of my head. I think he's been better than Saka.
That might even come close, but I personally wouldn't put him close.
Who?
Manu. You're going
to. Oh, God, be, man.
Because he is class. But I think he's Cole Palmer, the things he's done for Chelsea. You take them out of Chelsea, they're probably not top half of the table.
Yeah, I agree. And it's not just penalty goals. He does score from different positions.
It's just when he's on the ball. You expect him to do something. Yeah. How old is he?
21.
At 21, you're expecting a player to do something because he's that good. Yeah, he's going to be a good player. Mm. But even their centre-backs,
Cucurella started for Spain the other week against Brazil, I think.
Not a fan of him either, I've got to be honest. I didn't.
50
I
million?
It was 60, wasn't it?
60 million?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was expensive, yeah. They've got, who's their centre-backs?
It's a Sassy. I don't mind him.
So I agree. I've seen a few games where he was really poor at the beginning. Mm. Then he had a few decent games. I enjoyed watching him. But again, on the ball, making a few mistakes. They didn't look tight at the back, but kind of looked like we've looked all season. Like you can concede three or four, but against Burnley.
Yeah. And 10-man Burnley.
Well, then they're going to beat us 4-0, so it doesn't matter.
Well, this is the thing. Like, you cannot predict the results. I think what is the most likely result is going to be a draw. Two teams that are cancelling each other out because of how bad they are.
We played really well at home against Chelsea.
Yeah. I think we did, actually. But we could have got beat. We could have got three or four shit past us. They didn't take their chances.
That's Chelsea. And I think that's where we can do better. But that Brentford game, I've never seen a game like that. Was it something like 31 shots and like I think 26 on target, something stupid like that?
If you don't laugh, you cry as a United fan.
And you've got Ten Hag coming out and saying, oh yeah, well, City played well and we played really well. They played really well against Man City. I just want to cry.
I'm being gaslit. You're trying, what Ten Hag is doing, like when he comes, this is the problem with Erik Ten Hag. It's hard to like him. Say something sensible after a game. Rip into the players if you're going to do Mourinho-esque. But it's the way he like defends terrible performances.
I feel like he goes in at half time and goes, not a bad performance, you can do a little bit better.
And that's
I'd be going in there, me, and I'd be Rashford, sling you up, mate. You're gone.
Well,
jokes aside, like that's the worst performance I've seen.
Now you bring that up, you said you wanted to ask me a couple of ins and outs for Man United. Who would I keep? Who would I get rid of? Have you got your phone on you?
I do indeed.
You're going to go through the Man United squad. Vince is going to go through the Man United squad. He's going to ask me. We're going to give our opinions on who we'd keep and who we'd get rid of out of this current Man United squad. And I can't foresee many people staying, can you? No.
Let's do it. Not many.
So some players, there's going to be where we're not going to. We won't give
it. I'll go for the players that we know.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. Ready?
Okay.
Okay. Let's start with Andre Onana.
Keep.
I agree. I think he's come on leaps and bounds. My only. Do you remember when Dean Henderson was playing, and I said to you to watch him? He doesn't move his feet. He plants his feet, and he cannot move.
Yeah.
Little things like that I'm noticing a goalkeeper, and Onana does it where he goes and takes a step to the right or to the left before they've taken a shot to try and preempt what they're going
to do. He's
trying
to anticipate,
and it keeps catching him out. Caught him out of the Champions League a few times now, and it costs us the Champions League, but you can see there's a keeper in there.
In the Premier League so far, I think he's been brilliant.
I don't think there's a number one spot harder in the world. Maybe Madrid.
It's the hardest. I think even Madrid.
I think so too.
The pressure on Man United in an more intense league where you can be a Man United team and finish sixth, whereas Real Madrid aren't going to finish sixth.
And you're still expected to be above sixth when you play for United.
Yeah, you're still expected to win the league. Yeah.
It's tough. Diogo Dalot.
keep.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's had probably the best season in the United shirt he's had.
Yeah. Interestingly, when we spoke to Will Evans, he said he was the player that stood out.
He did.
Yeah.
How quick he was.
How fast he was. Yeah, back heeling it as well in the middle. That, have you seen that back heel, by the way?
I have. Unbelievable. But the only thing is with him defensively, he loses concentration every now and then.
And he when he's on it.
From Liverpool.
Yeah.
He played John Stones' role, came into midfield, was passed.
He was good, turned
on the ball, released it, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
A few holes in his game, but when you're playing with that back four that's been changed God knows how many times this season, I don't expect anyone to be decent.
Yeah.
Johnny Evans?
Get rid of.
Yeah, I think so.
That's nothing on. I think Johnny Evans is brilliant. He's a brilliant low block defender because he'll head everything away. He can manage that back line really well with his experience, but
when you're playing Johnny Evans, who's what, 38, and he's played how many games for us this season?
36.
36.
He's played too many games. And he didn't, and he will 36. Confess it himself that he
too many games.
He didn't expect to play that many games.
Many games.
But it's, we've been riddled with injuries as well.
Poor. That's another discussion. Cotton Woolhead.
That's Victor Lindelof, by the way. I think he's a decent backup. Oh. He cost 40 million quid, and we thought he was going to be our. The problem is, when he comes in, he's playing left back, he's playing right back, he's playing left centre half, he's playing right centre half.
I agree.
I feel sorry for him to a certain extent.
Can play.
I wouldn't sell.
Yeah, thank you. That's it. Obviously, Martinez.
Keep.
Probably our best player.
He's our best player.
Yeah, I agree. Luke Shaw. It's a tough one now, because left back, as left back goes, he's probably top three in the world if he's fit and he's playing.
Agreed.
But he's costing us now. Without him, we're struggling.
It's not too bad if we've got another backup fullback who we can rely on, but Tyrone Malassi has gone on.
Apparently, that's down to depression.
That sounds really like it makes sense. Yeah. He's not been, like, he's not posted anything on social media for, I think, a year.
It's a shame because he looked
good player. Very good player, Tyrone Malassi. I really liked him. Yeah, hopefully he comes back.
But we keep him or we?
I'll keep him.
I think I would keep him. Varane.
Keep.
Shad Sal.
Mm.
I think as a defender, very, very good. Good in the air. Cannot play football. It's like watching a player play in slow motion. It's like playing FIFA and setting the settings to really, really slow. And he's like kicking the ball like that.
He has got a weird technique, isn't he?
Can't stand
it. But he's two-footed.
But he's on a massive contract. He's 34. He can't play more than 15 games a season.
Is he 34?
I think he's 34, yeah. 30. I'm miles out.
I was going to say.
He's 30, but he's, yeah, for me, he can't play enough games. That's why John Evans is playing.
It's fitness, isn't it? Because he even went off the other night, didn't he?
He looks like he's going to miss the next game as well. Class player, but I think I'd get rid now. Tough one. Wan-Bissaka.
Keep.
Yeah, I think
I love Aaron Wan-Bissaka.
That Liverpool performance.
I think he is the most underrated fullback in the league, Aaron Wan-Bissaka.
Defensively, yeah, very much.
I think all round. There was a lot of criticism for Aaron Wan-Bissaka on the ball for probably the last 2-3 years that he couldn't play, he couldn't build up, he couldn't be composed on the ball. But I think what he has shown in the last probably 12 to 18 months is he's competent defensively, but I think he has improved so much beyond what I thought his ceiling was on the ball. I think he's now really important. He had a relationship building with Antony. The two of them together, defensively, were good. But I thought Antony and Wan-Bissaka, defensively, were very good. And I thought Wan-Bissaka, he very rarely gave the ball away. Granted, further forward, maybe.
I agree, but then answer me this. Why can't he get an England cap?
I think it's a Southgate blind spot. I mean, who are you playing at right back? Ezri Konsa or Aaron Wan-Bissaka?
I'm picking Aaron. I love
all day long. Player, I like Konsa, and I thought he actually did really well.
We played big games. Wan-Bissaka's
brilliant. If you've got Mbappe and Kyle Walker's out, even if Trent's in the squad, I'm playing Aaron Wan-Bissaka.
Reece James is the best right back in the league, but you probably don't want to start him against Mbappe. No,
agreed.
Or probably start Aaron.
Yeah.
So there it is. We're keeping Aaron Wan-Bissaka. And Southgate, if you're listening, give him a call up, son.
Why hasn't he given him a call up?
I don't get it.
It's ridiculous.
I don't get it. This one's a good one. Amrabat.
Get that man out of my club. The worst player I've ever seen at Manchester United is Sofyan Amrabat. I cannot believe, I don't even dislike him. I cannot believe he's a footballer. I can't believe he's professional.
He's got some qualities.
He looks like Imhotep. That's the closest. If I was doing a Mummy Returns reshoot and my main actor who played Imhotep wasn't there, yes, bring in Sofyan Amrabat. Otherwise, he has no other qualities.
And Ten Hag fought for him as well.
I think we stitched ourselves up with financial fair play. We have the obligation to buy him, don't we?
Yeah, but they're not obligation.
I don't know if it's an obligation or we've got the option. I don't know.
If we take that.
I made a joke a couple of weeks ago when Amrabat started that I would play Andre Onana in midfield ahead of Sofyan Amrabat. I cannot tell you how serious I am that is actually... that's true.
So if we sign him, green and yellow scarf set. That's what you're saying.
Ten Hag out. Forget the scarves, Ten Hag out.
We'll get to Ten Hag because it's a weird one. Mm. Casemiro?
Keep. I love Casemiro.
I just worry his leg might go.
People say that, right? You know, because obviously the Brazilian curse. Yeah. But I think in this midfield, you could put any midfielder in there and I think it would look like they haven't got their legs. Yeah. I think it's just a symptom of Man United's midfield.
Christian Eriksen?
Get that man out of my club. Christian Eriksen is... and do you know what? Different to Amrabat, right? Amrabat...
No excuse.
Terrible player.
Yeah, just not a good player.
Just, yeah. But I don't mind him as a person. Christian Eriksen, I don't like as a person.
Okay.
Do you remember when we got battered by Sevilla last season?
Yeah.
Did you ever see his interview after the game?
Just dead calm and chilled and relaxed.
Calm, yeah, smiling.
You fuming, weren't you? We were livid.
I was like, I mean, first of all, you're a terrible, you've lost whatever you had because he was top bracket.
That first season with us, he was really good player.
He was good.
Just completely gone.
Now he's just coasting.
Yeah.
And I don't want that
and then
anywhere
he's
near.
That he's on the bench.
Oh.
I don't get it. Well, show us why should he be on the pitch? I don't get it.
He wouldn't get back into Brentford's side right now.
I don't think he would.
I don't think he would.
One of the Dams guards.
Maybe. One of the Dams guards, one of the guards.
Maybe in there. Okay. Obviously, Bruno Fernandes. I have my own frustrations with Bruno. One of the best players we've probably ever had.
The best player we've signed since Sir Alex left.
By a mile. But at the moment, he's struggling and he's costing us with his position and his tackle. He can't tackle. The man can't tackle. He can't shoot. I know.
He's trying to do too much, isn't
he? Yeah. And he's got the grenade pass in him, which he always tries to do, which I get because he's got the quality to do it. But I just feel like at the moment, how many times have you been sat thinking, just take him off?
Rest him.
Yeah, I don't
give him give him a game off.
But
why does he have to play 60 games a season? It's ridiculous.
I don't get it. He should have come off against Brentford. I don't understand why he played that game. He was struggling. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't get the ball. For me, obviously keep him.
Keep him.
But there's something wrong with him there. The player he was when he first started to where he is now is miles off.
Yeah,
Maynou, that's an easy one, isn't it?
Yeah, keep.
Given the captaincy.
Cobby, yeah.
Now, this one is a debatable topic for both of us. Scott McTominay.
Love him, keep him.
I would get rid of him tomorrow.
You'd get rid of him?
I would.
You wouldn't even have him in the squad?
No.
Man United's top goal scorer.
I know our Man United fans are going to be all over me because he scored a few goals this season, but the man is a ghost. He sits in midfield. He doesn't want the ball. He hides behind players. When he's on the ball, he's not good enough with the football. As an overall player, Palace. Perfect. Fit right in. Works his ass off. Plays football to probably his level. But United, if you're going to keep someone like Scott around, you're not driving for much. So for me, nothing against him as a player. I know he gives everything and he runs his heart out.
He's a likeable lad, isn't he?
Absolutely. I like him, but I just don't think he's good enough personally. He frustrates me.
See, a lot of your criticisms I actually kind of agree with, but at the same time, I love him. It's weird.
The only thing I would do with him, you're not going to play him Cam. You're not going to play him over Bruno.
I think he's a centre forward though.
I would also play him as a centre forward though, because we've got nothing up top if Haaland's not playing. He's not very good with the ball at his feet, but as you can see this season, he can put the ball in the back of the net no problem. So I'd give him a go. Give him two or three games there, and I bet you'll get one or two goals. But for me, centre mid, I cannot, honestly. It's one of the... It makes me want to rip my hair out when I see him starting centre mid. It breaks me. And I'm giving player abuse all game, and I don't want to. It's not his fault he's been played there. Yeah. It's not the manager.
Yeah.
How can you not see that? He just goes missing. He don't want the ball. In fact, if you haven't seen it, you haven't noticed it, watch the next game. I bet you'll see if he starts centre mid, he'll be like, he won't want the ball. Cobby, I'll turn on the ball in midfield, and he'll be like, oh, it's side behind this player. I'm telling you now, you'll notice it. Thank me later. Mason Mount.
Oh, it's horrible because I love Mason Mount. Before he signed for United.
So excited when we
signed. Wow, I was like, this is what Man United need. Keep him because we haven't, I don't think we can judge him on this season. Every player has a season where they've got hit by injuries. This is just one of those. And what a moment for him, by the way, scoring the other night.
I know. That might change everything for him. Hopefully. Starts to get a bit of confidence because he had no confidence when he was playing at the beginning. Yeah. Struggling a bit when
he starts in that midfield, even if everyone's fit. I think he starts in that midfield.
Because you're not dropping Mainu, unless you're dropping Bruno to put him in, which like we said before, maybe I'd start Mesa. But who's that other centre mid spot?
I think he can add more to Man United and play four in midfield rather than Garnacho or Rashford.
See, I was about to say, same Rashford, I'm told.
I'd play 4-4-2.
I'd drop Rashford out of that.
Play 4-4-2. What's wrong with two attacking midfielders, a right attacking midfielder and a left attacking midfielder, Mason Mount and Bruno Fernandes? That might sort out our midfield issues.
And every player that's on the pitch there is, bar Garnacho if he plays, or Rashford, pretty good at holding or playing with the football, which is what Ten Hag is known for, which he's saying he can't play.
Yeah.
It would make more sense.
Mason Mount was the signing that suited Ten Hag's style of play. That was just a nailed on position that he wanted to fill when he first joined, and Mason Mount ticked every single box. It's unfortunate for him that he got
injured. Yeah.
I think the most frustrating thing for Man United fans is that Ten Hag had a style of play that he wanted to play to. Yes, injuries, but he hasn't adapted to that. He's still playing as if Mason Mount's fit and he's trying to fit.
Managed to come in and do that for us with any player. Mm. Because you've got to look at the one game where we have played the football that we wanted to play against Everton. I know you can say it was a lucky goal, we're going out to over a kick, but the way we turn on the ball, pass it, Liverpool, prime example, turn on the ball, pass the football, you can see how it wants to play, but like you said, he can't adapt when we can't play like that, when we haven't got the players. But no manager's been able to do that since Fergie.
True. I'll keep Mason Mount.
I agree. Anthony? Well, it's an easy one. Gone.
Keep.
Oh, I'm not even getting into Anthony.
Let's get into Anthony.
Okay, my position on Anthony, same as Jadon Sancho. Technically, an okay player, no pace. Never going to cut it in the Premier League. You stick it in the German League, no pace, you're absolutely fine. His technical ability, he's going to beat players. He can pass the ball. He can bring the ball down quite well. He will fit in Germany and he will do really well. Premier League, he's not going to cut it. Same as Jadon. City realised that a lot quicker than we did, obviously. But I think they're good players in a certain league. They're just not going to cut it in the Premier League.
I see a lot of people say Anthony couldn't even play in the Championship. That's bullshit, right?
No, I agree.
Because people genuinely believe that.
He's a talented player.
He's a good player.
Yeah, it's just not...
Maybe the Premier League isn't for him.
Yeah, I agree. You can have players that can't do it in the Premier League that can go over there or to different leagues and do really well. Look at lad that played at top for West Ham.
Scamacca?
Yeah.
I like him.
What did you say? He's going to go over to Italian League and he's going to do well.
Yeah.
He's done well.
Yeah.
Not a bad player. Look at Arnautovic.
Yeah,
I know he's
he did all right in the
bench player, but he's still doing really well in the Italian league. When he comes on, he looks like a decent player.
Certain leagues suit certain players. I think Anthony demonstrated enough when he first joined, when his confidence was at a good level, that he can cut it in the Premier League. I think since then, obviously everything happened in his personal life. I don't think that helped. And then the fans got on his back and then he became this joke because of his price tag. And I think that has spiraled him. He has the potential.
I agree, but I don't think he's ever going to cut it at Man United. No, I
Fair
don't
enough.
Think he will do. Diallo, I'm just...
Keep.
Yeah. Let's give him a chance.
Yeah, give him please, a chance, please. Man.
Forsen, they're not playing him enough, and he's a quality player.
Mm.
Garnacho. Now, we're both a bit torn with this one, aren't we?
Garnacho has everything that we need a right winger or a left winger to have, except for the end product. Has Garnacho got the worst end product in the Premier League?
Him or Rashford, he's got to be close.
I love Garnacho. I absolutely love him.
I do. Like when he does stuff like he does against Everton, you can see he's got quality.
That's madness to do that. The arrogance, the personality, he's got that.
But and when he came on, the first one on the scene, he was ripping players apart.
Do you think it's a symptom of him playing too many games? Starting?
I think so, because
he's
look at
comfortable.
Saka against City, poor, down to fatigue. They're young players. We forget how young they actually are. And they're playing probably 30 games a season.
Yeah. You need the right mentor. I think like someone like Kobbie Mainoo, he could play, and Jude Bellingham, those players, Declan Rice at that age, they could all play a certain amount of games and it would be fine. I think Garnacho needs to come out.
He's
back
explosive,
in,
isn't he?
Come in.
He's explosive.
I don't think putting a run of games where he plays 30 games and starts 30 games is, I don't think that's good for him at this stage of his career.
Is he quick? I don't know.
Do you remember when he scored, I think it was against Liverpool in the under-18s? When he scored that goal that kind of got people started talking about him. No. The pace he showed there is madness. Like, he has got pace. I think in the Premier League, has he got pace? So many players are so quick now. I don't know if he can show it.
He can't get away, can he? A bit like Antony. He gets past a player and he just can't quite get away.
But it's difficult for any player to demonstrate pace when you've got the likes of the fullbacks that are in the Premier League now, where everyone is so kind of dependent on pace. Only a Rashford and Mbappe, those sort of players, when they come up against these fullbacks, can show that they've got pace.
So are we talking about another Premier League problem? Because you go over to Spain and Germany, they're not like that. They're lightning over here. Mm, the game is so much faster than anywhere else. And the players like this who are explosive, I think Garnacho has got a bit more about him than Antony in the sense that he can run past the play, he can beat players when he's explosive and he goes for it. But I think if you stick him in a German league or even a Spanish league, he's going
to
excel.
I think he would tear it up,
big time. Yeah. Big time. But yeah, I think...
Obviously,
still
keep.
Young. Yeah, we're going to keep, yeah. Hoyland?
Keep.
Yeah.
Love Rasmus Hoyland.
Yeah. The next man, I would pay Man United whatever you want to get rid of him. Martial, please just get rid of that leech. Just... Yeah.
All right. Okay. Let me ask you something.
Nope. He's not starting. He's gone.
If a Premier League player... in 9 to 10 seasons, scores 60 plus goals, Premier League goals. Do you think that's a good return?
Are you going to try and sting me here with more pay?
No. 60 plus goals in the Premier League.
How many seasons?
9 or 10.
No.
You don't think that's a good return? No. 60 plus goals.
Even 10 goals a season for a striker.
You'd be in the top,
for Man United.
You'd be in the top 50 all-time Premier League goal scorers.
If you scored 60 goals in 10 seasons...
And that's 10 seasons. That's not considering that you could...
He's been there longer than 10 seasons.
Around 10 seasons, roughly. I think Martial, from off the top of my head, has scored 63 Premier League goals in about 9 or 10 seasons. Don't forget the Sevilla on loan.
9 seasons on loan.
And I think he scored 63 goals, which I think is a good return for a striker.
So, okay, let's look at it from that point of view. The first 4 or 5 seasons, he did okay.
Young.
11 goals,
coming through.
4, 9, 10, 17. But then he's gone 4 in 22, 1 in 8, 6 in 21. And
injuries.
But you can't carry a player for his entire career.
I agree.
Went to Sevilla and they were like, he's horrendous. They hated him.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't be asked.
But then he came back to Man United and scored like 5 goals in 16 games or something.
But it's the attitude, isn't it? When he's on, he's not asked. He'll jog around. He's not bothered. It's like an Eriksen.
Yeah.
Once the game's done, I'm going home. Then I've earned 150 grand a week. Whatever.
Martial, sell for me as well.
Yeah, for me, I can't.
I was playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, for me, he's one of the worst. Rashford.
Sell.
Yeah, sell. Now, I get on Rashford's back more than anybody else on the planet.
And I defend Rashford more than anyone else on the planet, probably.
But when games aren't playing, obviously still a Man United player, I always want him to do well. But for me... You stick him in a PSG team, he's going to do well. You stick him in
40 goals a season.
Any decent side where he doesn't have to work his ass off, doesn't have to trap back, and he's just their main man up top, he's going to get you goals. At the moment, Man United aren't good enough for Rashford, and Rashford isn't playing good enough for Man United. So as sad as it would be to see him go, I think I would let him go. I'd love to see him go off and do well somewhere else. I really would. But I just don't think he's going to turn this form around now, and I don't think he's got it in him to work hard enough to want to change it. He's got his big contract now. He knows he's better than what he's playing at. He knows that. That's why he comes off with the "when I score, shut your mouth" type stuff. He knows he's better than what he's playing at. But and Man United just destroy players. So what can we do?
I just think Rashford is emblematic of how Manchester United are as a club. If we are there, he is there. If we are there, he is there. He doesn't... What Jamie Carragher earlier on the season criticised him for is he expects Rashford to drag this club up. He is a Manc, born and bred. Manchester United is his club. He should be there as one of the captains dragging Man United forward, and he's not. And I think I agree with the criticism he's got. Is he does he have the potential to be one of the best, if not the best, left winger in the world? I think so, yeah.
You ask everyone, is it the interviews for England, they'll all say Rashford's the best player.
Every player who's played with him in training or any defender who's defended against him will say Marcus Rashford is the best player they've ever played against.
There's your answer. It's there. We know it's there. We've seen it.
But
I remember when I was at the Arsenal game when he came on and scored 2 goals and won 3-2.
Yeah.
And I looked at that team sheet and I was like, oh my God, I've travelled up here on my own. We're going to get battered today. I have to sit here on my own and take it. Sat in the Stretford end. And he scored 2 goals and I was like, oh my word, this player is special. And it's heartbreaking to say to let him go. It is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Because you know he's class. Yeah. You know he's. But do you remember those first couple of games when he did start? How much he used to work and chase the ball and run.
Yeah.
You don't lose that.
He had the energy.
Yeah,
he had
that. He's still got it. He's still got the pace. I don't understand. The only thing I think is where fans get the struggle. It looks like he's just given up. I can't be bothered. Not last. That's where people get that attitude from.
Which is why people will have so much patience for Garnacho when he's out of form, for Højlund when he's out of form. Because they'll work with Bruno Fernandes when he's out of form. Because these players give absolutely. With Scott McTominay, these players give everything on the pitch.
It's the big player in here.
Go on.
Harry Maguire. I'm keeping him.
Depends how much we can get for him.
I'm keeping him. I think this season he's been, performance-wise, probably our best player.
Yeah. The most impressive thing about Harry Maguire is the personality and attitude to come through what he's come through.
Massively. We've got England for Maguire after being absolutely destroyed by the fans and the media. And he's playing probably some of the football he played up when we signed him. And if he has a decent player next to him like a Martinez who can read the game, Harry's your enforcer.
Do you trust him? Good.
I do. Because England form Harry, I trust. I know he made a mistake the other night, didn't he, for England?
That's like his first mistake in a long time.
Any England fan that watches England wants Maguire in that start 11. If you don't, you clearly don't watch England play. Because he's never put a foot wrong for us. Never.
Yeah.
So I think... personally, I'd keep him.
I could go either way. I think for 40 million I'd sell him, but I wouldn't. But then you strengthen, he's not going to go outside of the top 10.
40 million for him,
I think.
We'll get 20 for him. How old is he now?
Keep him all day long.
I
why
don't
not?
Think you'll get much for him, and he's not exactly going to lose much pace.
Nah, I mean, he's got zero pace. Yes. He's got negative pace. Yeah. But he's a good footballer.
He is very good.
Mm-hmm.
He can't head the ball though.
Can't.
No. When we're in the box, I don't know. Oh,
attacking
Liverpool,
wise.
Oh my God. He will have 10 headers a game and they'll all go.
He's got 50p heads. Yeah.
But he defends well, so that's all
that
matters.
Yeah. Well, that was good. We actually agreed on a lot of them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I find? I find when you message each other after the game, like we say, fuck it, he's shit, he's this, he's that. I think you're so caught up in it. But when you actually speak to someone in person, you go, yeah, I understand your point. I understand your point.
Yeah.
You can cut, I understand your points on Anthony. I understand your points on Scott McTominay. But I still kind of, I still feel like.
I think as well, we want them to do. Yeah. We want to be proved wrong. Of course we do.
Yeah.
We want to be proved
wrong. How much would you love Anthony to go and score fucking 15 goals a season, every season for the next 10 years?
Can you believe that Anthony is the one that scored against Liverpool? Because I bet you they all give him so much abuse.
And I love it. I love that he scored. I have not cheered a goal more this century, probably since 1998. I don't think I've celebrated a goal more than that Anthony goal against Liverpool.
Felt different, didn't it?
Rashford against PSG was massive.
That penalty,
yeah. But I swear to God, I swear on my life, I nearly cried when Anthony scored. I nearly cried, man.
I was actually sat at my girlfriend's parents' house, so I sat there in the front room. United have gone 3-2 behind, and they're all sat there looking at me behaving well, and I just want to lose my head. And then he scores that goal, and I'm like, yes.
How'd you do it?
Oh, that's horrible, mate. That's absolutely horrible.
Don't get a misses. Can't enjoy the football.
He's correct, yeah. It's the worst.
Right, okay. Forget Man United. We're going to move on.
Yes.
We're going to talk about other teams now. Okay, I'm going to do my team of the week. As you know, my team of the week includes only players I have seen play the full 90 minutes. No one outside of that. No one I've just seen on Match of the Day. It's only the players that I can actually, actively, accurately judge. Starting off in goal is Andre Onana. At right back is Ben White. Centre back, Christophe Ayer. Alongside him is Jarrell Kwanza. Left back is Josko Gvardiol. Central midfield, Alexis McAllister. Alongside him, Yegor Yarmoluk, and finishing off that midfield is Carlos Baleba. Right wing is Moussa Diaby. Left wing is Crescencio Somerville, and striker is Ivan Toney. Right, Vince, let me ask you on a couple of these players. Yes. Why not kick it off with a Liverpool player? Mm-hmm. Why not kick it off with Alexis McAllister?
I think we've had a discussion good. Before. If Liverpool in the league, I think he's player of the season. I think he's that good.
I think Endo.
Nah.
I think Endo's been better.
I think Endo's been class, but I don't know. It's tough because Endo's quality.
How hard is it as a Man United fan to compliment Liverpool players?
Well, I was saying it's such a bad signing to our friend at the beginning. He's not going to be, he's not going to work through, he's not going to fit in. Boy, was I wrong. He has been quality.
He has been very good. I actually don't think he's been that good until probably the last 20 games. I think it took him a while to settle in. And
Took a while to get going.
Yeah, true.
So I think Endo was at the beginning. I think the thing is, we look at Endo because of his price tag. And don't get me wrong, he's a phenomenal player. Yeah. But McAllister, if you're going to pick either one to start, you're picking McAllister.
I'm torn.
Oh,
I do like Endo. I'm obsessed with Endo, man. For a Man United fan to say that about a Liverpool player is ridiculous. But when I look at Endo, it pisses me off.
Yeah,
how can you come in at 31 years old and be that good?
Hey, it doesn't piss you off like a Van Dijk pisses you off, does he?
Van Dijk annoys me. When I see
big head.
He's so big, he's so strong,
isn't
he? I hate him so much because I want everything about him I want in Man United.
Absolutely. Robertson's another one.
Robertson's class.
I love he's having a terrible season.
Love it. There's another Liverpool player in this side, Jarrell Kwanzaa. What do you reckon?
Quality player.
21.
For his age. Slotted right in there because Konate is a very good defender. Yeah. I said when we beat Liverpool, forget that, when Garnacho shimmied to the left, he did, I can't remember now. Was it Kwanzaa?
Who was running back? It might have been Kwanzaa.
I can't remember. Whoever it was got done by the movement.
Yeah.
Konate wouldn't have got done there. Quality player.
Van Dijk wouldn't have done.
They're both really...
Is that experience?
Possibly.
Yeah.
But he's come in and they've not missed Konate at all.
No, I don't think so either.
The leak... Liverpool are a weird team. I watched them against Brighton the other day and they probably should have scored a few goals.
Mm.
But they haven't. And Liverpool have still come away with it.
I don't get how Liverpool win the league this season. I get that they're top of the table based off points, but they've not been the best side. And I always feel like the best team wins the league every season.
That Klopp's dragging them through it, mate.
Yeah. Arsenal have been the best team this season. Arsenal are the best team in the league.
Arsenal's our best bet for the league, so let's be honest.
It's the only thing that I can stomach.
Because Liverpool equalise our title. Yeah. And then City you've got City go four in it. Couldn't think of anything worse.
Arsenal are the only team that I can stomach winning the league. And even that, Jesus, they're fans, mate.
I hated them. Oh, my God, I hated them.
Is there any Arsenal players? I put Ben White in there. I thought he was brilliant against City.
I like Ben White. I've been saying this. I got him in my dream team. I think Ben White's a quality player. I'm gutted he won't play for England. I don't understand it, so I won't comment on why he doesn't do it. But he's quality.
Yeah, he's a good footballer. Against a really tricky... I mean, for City, anyone who plays there, Jack Grealish aside, if you play Doku there, great. They play Doku there and most fullbacks get ripped apart by Doku.
He's a weird one, isn't he?
He's not even good. No. He's just brilliant.
He's,
do you know what I mean? He's not good. He's a bad player, but he's great.
He is. And no, I agree. I tried to explain that in the pub the other day and I was called an idiot. But he's terrible and City fans can't stand him. But he does stuff not many people can do with the football.
I agree. It's really strange.
But no, I like Ben White. I think he's class.
Some ones that I do want to ask your opinion on, actually. Carlos Baleba for Brighton against Liverpool. Did you notice his performance? I don't know if it's just me and I only
caught the second half.
Right.
So I missed the first half. So when they went 1-0 up, I saw it from when, literally 5 minutes before Salah equalised, got back from work.
Probably up until that point, I thought he was fantastic. I thought he was unbelievable. 20 years old, mate.
They have some players. I don't know if you saw about McAllister, weirdly, while we're on it. Did you see that the Sky Sports analysis about Liverpool finding an absolute gem? They found a World Cup winning player. Brighton found a player that come up from the second league in Argentina, signed him, and he's turned into one of the world.
And then Liverpool got the credit for it.
Yeah. They do this, Brighton.
Yeah.
They do this.
They do. And a lot of that was down to Dan Ashworth when he was there originally at Brighton, obviously moved over to Newcastle and now United whether we get
2025,
him or not.
I've heard.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
We can't sign anyone.
But yeah, Brighton's system of bringing in these players, and I think Carlos Baleba, 20 years old, is unreal. I absolutely loved him, and I also thought Odingra was really good.
Do you know what? Odingra did catch.
I thought he was really good.
He's got pace, isn't he?
Pace. Tricky. Connor Bradley struggled against him all game. I thought he was really good.
Good player.
Good player. Yeah. Last player I do want to mention. is he the best player in the championship? Crescencio Somerville.
By a mile. I've watched these loads of times this season because they're always on Sky. You'd have a better game on, they'll stick Leeds on. Yeah. And he is Premier League quality. Yeah. He is phenomenal. He's got pace. He's good with the ball. He can dribble. He scores. I've noticed recently, though, a few times he's not started, which I found weird.
Really?
Yeah, it's been a couple of games he hasn't
every
started.
Every time I've watched Leeds recently, he's...
Yeah, that's because I like to gamble and some of those score assist every game.
Yeah.
But no, when I've watched him, he's usually the best player on the pitch. Yeah. So there's not many players I've seen better than him.
Did you see the goal the other night?
Is this the...
I think it's the Watford game. Yeah, Watford game.
No. Did I? No, I don't think so.
Smash it into the top corner. He's got that little cut in on his right foot and bends it into the top corner, but just belted one in right when Leeds needed a goal.
You know he's going to do it as well. It's the worst, but you know it's going to happen.
Like Robin.
You can't stop it. Yeah, he's going to be good. I don't know where he'll go or whether he'll stay at Leeds. Be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Because he'd be worth some money.
Yeah, I think Leeds get promoted and I think he stays with them. And I think Leeds have done well and I think he's made the right decision to stay with Leeds when they got relegated.
Which is nice. Not many players do that.
Yeah. Right, okay, let's do Two Lies and a Truth. Two Lies and a Truth is part of the show where I give you three crazy football stories. Now, normally Baker is on the receiving end of this. This week it is you. Two stories are lies. One is true in the world of football. You have to guess which one is the true story. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. First story, story number one. Former Arsenal goalkeeper Jens Lehmann would wear gloves that were 2 to 3 sizes too big for him to make his hands look bigger to intimidate his fellow goalkeeping teammate Manuel Almunia.
He was a bit of an ass, so I can imagine.
Weird guy, wasn't he?
He was, wasn't he? He's got some stories as well, yeah.
Story number one.
Seems pretty...
Story number two. Ex-Manchester United defender John O'Shea claims his pet guinea pig was psychic. Story number two. Story number three, and final story. Liverpool goal-scoring legend Ian Rush would fill his boots with sandpaper in training to toughen up his feet.
They were a different breed back then, weren't they?
Weirdos, weren't they?
Welsh as well.
Weirdos. Three stories. Which one do you think is the true story?
I'm going to go with Jens Lehmann.
You're going to go with Jens Lehmann?
I am.
Okay. I will reveal the answer at the end of the show. What I do most weeks is I do a weekend treble. Now, I don't know if you've seen this, but I pick three selections that I think are bankers. I put them in a treble, and it's not for like massive returns. It's for profit at the end of the season. Up until this point, I believe we are £10 down for the season.
Tough at the moment.
It's very tough. But the beauty of this is we are only one win away from being £35 up because most of these trebles will be between £30 and £40 profit. So this week, and you can tell me what you think. This week, first selection, Dortmund versus Stuttgart over 2.5 goals. Second selection, Wellington Phoenix double chance away at Central Coast Mariners.
Australian, picking that out.
And third selection is Coventry versus Leeds over 2.5 goals. £10 on returns you £45. Keep it responsible. If you want to back it, go for it. What do you think?
Dortmund, for me personally, I stay clear of them.
Really?
Yeah. Whenever I
back, they're dodgy, aren't they?
Goals, yeah. They don't score. But Stuttgart are flying
and always
Dortmund
score.
Just beaten, yeah, always score, and they've just beaten Munich 2-0. It's one of those things that should easily come in, but you'll be sat there in the 90th minute, it'll be 2-0, and you'll be like, oh, come on.
Let me tell you, pretty much all of the ones that have lost have been by one goal. I very rarely lose these by like two selections. It's usually one selection, it's one goal.
So the only thing I would add, which you have taught me, and it comes in every single time, depending on who they're playing, I'll check who they're playing, is Calhanoglu to have two shots. and it's always 1.3s and it comes in.
It's not a bad shot, yeah.
Every single time. It's never not come in for me. He hits it from everywhere. He is phenomenal as well, by the way.
Penalties, free kicks, does everything.
Whacks it from the halfway line.
Yeah, doesn't mind it, yeah.
Phenomenal
player. And the bookies have never really...
No. Never. That's a banker. But yeah, I
don't... What about Wellington Phoenix? What do you know about the A-League?
Couldn't tell you a thing.
What do you know about Coventry Leeds?
Coventry...
Keep scoring. Yeah. Ellis Sims, then, by the way.
Yeah, they're going to lose to Cardiff with two own goals.
Weirdos.
I think Cardiff like 6-1.
Can I just say, Ellis Sims at the start of the season... He had a really difficult start of the season for Coventry and he came in trying to replace Gyökeres, which is a massive shoes to fill. Yeah.
Absolutely flying.
So he had to come in and he had to be Coventry's main man. First of all, Coventry absolutely flying as well. What a job that they have done probably in the last two seasons have been like they shouldn't be up there competing, but they are. But they brought in Ellis Sims and from Everton.
Yeah,
and I
didn't
thought
really do much there, did he?
It was a struggle. Yeah. It was a bit of a struggle for him to get into the team, but this year, I think he's got like 12 goals. He's flying. He scores every week. And I think he scored a couple the other day. He scored one the other week and two the other week. And then three, scored a hat trick in the FA Cup as well.
That's mental. Against Wolves.
And now he's got the opportunity to score against Man United and not Man United at the FA Cup in the semi-final.
Hat trick. That's an easy bet.
Ellis Sims hat trick.
Oh my, we've done it.
Done.
We've done it.
He scores against United.
Who doesn't score against United?
Honestly. That's my selection. Those are my weekend treble. Right, at the middle of the show, I said to you, there's three stories. You had to guess which of the stories was true. The first story was Jens Lehmann made his hands bigger to intimidate his teammates. The second story was John O'Shea's pet guinea pig was psychic. And the third story was a Liverpool legend Ian Rush would fill his boots with sandpaper. You think it is story number one. You think Jens Lehmann.
I do. It can't be the guinea pig. It cannot be the guinea pig.
To be fair, John O'Shea said his guinea pig's not psychic. Said his guinea pig psychic. That wasn't scientifically proven. But he might be psychic.
You've all left. One.
Are you going to stick with Jens Lehmann?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay. The true story, the real story, and I'm going to play a clip to demonstrate this story. It's Jens Lehmann.
Yes.
Good choice.
Get it.
100% record for Vince on the Two Lies and the Truth. Jens Lehmann, apparently, and I'll play the clip, but for your benefit, would actively widen his hands when he was walking around the training facility to intimidate Almunia.
I had the weirdest dynamic because Almunia and him didn't talk at all.
Yeah, they didn't.
So, like, if I talked to one in the morning, the other one wouldn't talk to me for the rest of the day. It was weird, mate.
What?
Yeah.
Serious?
Yeah, like, they were that intense with each other. But going back to Jens, mate, he used to practice making his hands look big. So he'd walk around, like, holding his hands wide. So, like...
What do you mean, walk around?
So, like, he'd walk around, like, the training ground, like, spreading his hands, and he'd wear gloves too big for him.
Nah,
so
this ain't a thing. This ain't a thing.
This is, like, proper mentality. He was like, I want people to know my hands are massive.
And he would walk around spreading them.
Honestly, every time I looked at him, his hands were, like, spread, mate. Then that weren't natural. It was like, I'm working on that to make me...
Maybe that's because
bigger.
He followed David Seaman, who has got the biggest hands on the planet.
Think about it when he was in goal. Just think about it now when we used to play Arsenal, it was really good. I feel like he had massive hands.
He had massive hands.
Yeah, big, thick gloves.
He probably wore bigger gloves in the actual games as well.
Big hand Lehmann.
Wow. Big hand Lehmann. Last bit before we go, I do a fan-captured goal of the week. Every single goal I see has come from a Sky Sports camera or something like that where they cut to the celebration. You don't really get the full effect of the fans and what it would be like to be in the stadium. These are videos captured, and I can't stand when people video in a football stadium, but this is the benefit of it. You get to see some great goals, great reactions. This week, I've got a video of Cole Palmer's delicate penalty chip down the middle, his Panenka. Have a look at it. Right, Vince, end of the show. How's it been? Yeah. First episode you've ever been on. You've been behind the scenes on a few, but it's the first you've ever been on.
I've enjoyed it. It's been an experience.
It's been an experience. Now, we are planning a debate episode where we put all of our... And there's basically every lad probably has a football group.
Yeah.
That football group is toxic. Animosity. It's toxic.
Hatred.
Everyone trying to wind each other up. Different kind of factions, different Liverpool fans, Man United fans, Arsenal fans, Chelsea fans.
Newcastle
fans. We've got that group. At some point, we have to air it all out on a podcast, don't we?
It's going to be nasty.
We've got to do it. So that'll probably be the next time you're on.
That would be great fun.
You will be hearing from us in a couple of weeks, by the way, on our new guest that we've got. We haven't announced it because it's not 100% confirmed, but we have a date in mind. It's Michael Chopra. That's going to be cool, isn't it?
It's going to be special.
That's going to be cool.
It's going to be special. And especially for Baker.
Massive Cardiff fan. By the way, there was the opportunity for us to do the episode a couple of weeks ago. And I thought, I can't do it by myself without Baker there. It's a big thing for him.
Yeah.
So hopefully in a couple of weeks, you'll see Michael Chopra sat here or sat there instead of you.
Scary that.
Yeah. Guys, we are back every week, every Wednesday for the rest of the season. Make sure you stay tuned. If you haven't already, like, subscribe. If you're on Spotify, go ahead and rate us 5 stars. Actually, that does help. I have not asked anyone to do that. If you're on Spotify, go ahead and do it. That'll be a big help. But thank you to Vince. Thank you for everyone watching. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you very much.
Do we end it now?
Can
we? So this is what me and Baker do. We tend to say we're going to end it. And then as we're going to end it, we just basically stop in the middle of a sentence.